Hello, and welcome to Textual Tension. I am your co-host, Rachel, and I hop in here every other week to just kind of give y'all any updates, the usual spiel, a little funny anecdote, you know, the usual. And hey, if you're new here, welcome. This is where I usually hop in, so, you know, hi, hello. So I will go ahead and get announcements over with. First things first, thank you all so much for being cool about us needing to skip an episode. Totally my bad. Well, not my fault, but you know, things happen and we couldn't record when we could record. Our audio munched up. So thank you for being really cool about us having to skip an episode. We are back. We are better than ever. This is a fantastic episode, if I do say so myself, and we had a good time. And if you're curious about maybe some clips from that lost episode, you can hop on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/textualtension and check out a little mini clip show. There's also a chance that maybe at some point I'll release the whole thing if people don't think that their ears will bleed too bad from listening to that audio. But if you want a little tiny clip show, you can head on over to our Patreon and check that out, as well as all other sorts of cool things that are over there. We do live streams, there's little bonus mini-sodes, there's all kinds of fun stuff, bloopers, you know, the works. We have social media, that is at Textual Tension Pod across the board, except for Twitter, Twitter, whatever. We're not on that one. But we're on pretty much everything else. And we have a Discord, which you can check out through a link in our from our website, which is textualtensionpod.com. There's a theme. Or from the link in our Instagram. Announcements like, say, us needing to skip a week, etc., go up usually on the Discord first. So it's a great place to be if you just want to stay informed, as well as, you know, get book recs, just talk random stuff, share memes, share pet photos, the huge, with just like a really cool group of people. I love the group that we have over there. They're all wonderful. So check that out as well. I think that is just about it. Oh, one last thing. We are, in this episode, doing something a little bit different, trying something a little spicy and new. So there's a little bit of banter at the beginning of this episode. We've done a little bit before, but we do take a minute to kind of get into the actual meat of the episode. And I know, to each their own, some people aren't into that, and that's totally cool. So if you aren't into that, you can jump to, I think, around 12 minutes is when we start getting into things. Probably a little after that with this intro and stuff, but when I edited it, it was 12 minutes. Please account for intro things. That's about when we start getting into the actual episode, but it is really fun. We're talking about all sorts of interesting stuff that is relevant to the actual episode itself. So, you know, if you're not into it, it's cool. But if you are, if you're interested in, you know, listening to something new, let us know what you think. It was kind of fun. It was really fun, actually, to talk about the some current events that are very relevant to the topic of this novel. So let us know. We would love to hear from you. Okay, now, that is just about everything. So since you stuck with me through all of that, how about I give you some romance novel wisdom? You know, NASA says that we probably won't be able to fuck aliens. And if I'm being honest, I doubt they'd be interested in a romantic relationship either with humans. So, you know, I guess it's just like how what I always say. Can't spell space without ace. that was dumb. That was dumb, but that was fun. Well, hey, thank you all so much for listening, and like I said, for sticking with us after we had to take a tiny little hiatus. We really appreciate it, and we really appreciate you. So without further ado, please enjoy episode 122, Genetically Enhanced Ford F-150.
Oh, love, tearing me apart from the inside out so I can see myself from the inside.
Hello, and welcome to Textual Tension, a love-hate relationship with romance novels. I am your co-host, Margie.
And I'm your co-host, Rachel.
Every other week, one of us reads his romance novel and summarizes it for the other unsuspecting co-host. This week, that co-host is Rachel.
Behold, it is me.
It is Huzzah. You. And together, we unpack
what
The fuck just happened. Which
Welcome back.
Great segue. I have a great segue of I feel like that's how everyone felt when we heard Congress say aliens are real.
I have thoughts and opinions.
I thought you might. But that is what inspired this episode. I will be doing werewolves here soon. But like, I had
Did they also say that werewolves exist?
No. I put on the Discord. I had people vote. Do you want me to do werewolves or aliens? Ooh, and people said werewolves at first. But then Congress came out and said aliens are real. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I have to do aliens now. So the next one will be a werewolf novel per me on my end. Heyo. And, I'm really excited to talk about aliens. And should I send you the cover? Should we talk about Congress first? What do you think we should do? It's just,
Let's do some Congress banter, shall we?
Yes, please. I beg.
So, fair. I'm curious what your thoughts are on it first, Margie, because I did a little bit of looking into it. I'll, to be fair to everyone out there, hello, hi, yes, Margie asked me to look into it, and then I got sick. So
yeah,
I'm sick right now, which is going to be fun and weird.
Yeah.
But I did look a little bit into it, and I have some thoughts and questions that I'm curious what your perception of it is first, though, because you probably know more about it than I do, for being honest.
I don't. I really don't. Okay. I just know. So what I know of it is that there was a guy who used to work, I think it was for the Pentagon, who he came before Congress and swore to tell the truth and all that stuff. And Congress questioned him and found out that what he's claiming is that he used to work on what we used to call UFOs, like crash UFOs. Yes. And right. Also, quote unquote, UAPs. Biologics.
Right.
Which are non-human pilots of these ships. So basically what he's claiming is that aliens are real because we found these ships and we've looked into the bodies that we found on these ships and they're definitely not human. And this is technology that we've never seen on our planet before. Mm-hmm. That's what I understand of it.
Okay. So from what I kind of read, and I do apologize that I'm not in any way saying that this is not possible. Absolutely not. Weirder things have happened. Why the fuck not? What I am saying is I am a little bit of a Debbie Downer because I'm just a skeptic. Like, I'm going to be skeptical of this shit, right? So what I read, both from before and after the trial, or not trial, but the deposition conference or whatever, the trial.
Going to jail for aliens.
There was some very
alien court.
Dun dun. Dun dun. Wait. There's some very specific wording that happened. In that, no one ever said aliens. Everyone says UAPs, which is what we used to call UFOs. UFO is unidentified flying object. UAP is unidentified aerial phenomenon.
That's what's on your lap right now with the tail coming up.
Yes, an unidentified aerial phenomenon. The important thing about that is that that includes anything that happens in the air that we don't understand at first sight what it is. Which means it could be literally anything. And there's some shit out there where physics is way fucking weirder than what we can imagine with aliens and shit. So, inherently, I'm skeptical when they say unidentified aerial phenomenon, because that can be literally fucking anything. Now, I'm not saying that these pilots and trained pilots and whatever aren't, you know, seeing something that's happening there. Like, I absolutely believe them that they've seen something. But I am skeptical.
Didn't the guy say, though, that they were, like, taking apart these ships, though, and looking at the technology and the bodies on the ship?
So he says that there are, what he said was that there were projects to reverse engineer unidentified aerial phenomenon that they have recovered.
Right.
Which could mean aliens, absolutely. It could also mean Russia has some weird shit. It could also mean China has some weird shit. It could also mean it's something weird fell out of space because we get some weird shit that falls into from meteors, etc. And it could have had biological material on it. It's absolutely possible. It's equally likely that it's any of those, although I would say it's probably more likely it's the latter.
What do you think they mean? What do you think they mean when they say then biologics? Like, what do you think that because that's right. Because they say non-humanoid biologics. Like, to me, that non-science brain, the language of that says it's something off-planet.
Non-humanoid doesn't necessarily mean non-carbon-based life form, right? Or non-from Earth. We've shot some weird shit up in space, including animals, including plants, including Russian cosmonauts, probably. And to be fair, and this is actually something that's a really, really big problem, there's a junk field orbiting Earth that's a really big problem. If something crashed to the Earth, it's equally likely, again, I would say that it is some, no, I wouldn't even say equally, I think one, again, is more likely than the other. It's likely that it could be either an alien craft that has an alien biological life form on it that wouldn't be carbon-based or whatever, or it could be one of the dogs that we shot up, because dogs aren't humanoid. They are bipedal, or quadrupedal, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm inherently skeptic here. One other thing that he mentions in the actual, like, his actual statement is that I don't know if he actually ever worked on that. It made it sound like his terminology, I think, that he used was that there was a project going on and he requested access and was denied to it.
Oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yes. And I didn't
dive. They were like, we know you're a snitch, motherfucker.
I didn't dive as deep into it as I could have or probably should have. But he did. There is a thing in there where he says, like, there was a project happening that I'm pretty sure he said it was about the bio, like, you know.
Yeah.
Biometric whatevers. God, help me. I'm not remembering the word. Sick
brain. Biologic.
Biologics. Thank you. And he requested access and he was denied. Here's the thing.
Snitch.
Yes, actually. In the government space, in cleared areas, etc., there are very strict security protocols. And one of those security protocols is that you do not show an active interest in pretty much anything, because the minute you start asking is the minute someone's like, well, why are you interested in that? Mm-hmm. And you will get one, reported as a security risk, and two, not get access to that thing.
Right,
there's
right.
Some very strict security protocols in there. So if he was specifically asking to be involved, now granted, this is way higher level than I ever was at, but if he was asking to be involved in something like that, someone was probably like, no. Well, no, and also
that's how you know personally though, Rachel, because you worked at Wright Patton, so you know that if you don't ask questions, you get to see the aliens.
Oops. I've let it slip.
Oh no. Okay, dude, now they do.
There is before we move on, there's one last thing I want to mention.
Yes.
And this is the reason I am so skeptical. We have only been brief rundown. We've only been spitting radio waves of any kind, so any form of communications out into the blankness of space for like 100 years. That's not a long time.
Yeah.
And that hasn't really gone very far. 100 light years, actually, is how far it's gone. And there are other star systems within that 100 light years, but hey, space is big, y'all. So it's more of a statistics thing for me. I have no doubt that there is other life out there. The chance that someone happened to be looking at us when we spit out a radio wave and happened to recognize what it was and happened to have faster than light travel and happened, there's just so many things that I'm like,
I want them to, please. Jesus, take the aliens, take the wheel. It's so bad here. It's so hot. And we're so sick.
And honestly, why? Why would anyone be interested in this?
Yeah, they would be like, get the fuck away from us.
Right. So there you go. That's why. Unless.
Blue alien well, did? Here's oh. the other Sorry. Half of this. Okay. So I did a little research of my own.
Neat.
Because there was an article that came out, I don't know how long ago. I probably can actually just pull up the article real quick. But
was it about whether or not we'd be able to fuck aliens? Because we can't.
Yes. Yes, yeah, NASA warns alien life may not be fuckable, which by Alex Braltz, and it is on Beaverton.com. I don't know about their credentials. I don't know anything about them. However, I did a deep dive into this article because I was skeptical, like you were. Because I don't believe they have a, quote, NASA has a, quote, interstellar sexual health spokesperson. I do not believe that that person exists.
Okay. One, I also do not believe that that person exists. Two, I do believe that we wouldn't be able to fuck aliens, but continue.
Hold on. But I actually decided, and now I know that NASA is secretive and all that stuff. I decided to do a little bit of deep digging on the person that they mentioned. Their name is Clarice Cravalt, which also sounds like a fucking fake ass name.
A little bit.
So I looked online for any other mention of her in NASA. Now, again, NASA's secretive, so they're not going to tell who works for them necessarily. But I figured if she's in this article, then
if she's
probably
a liaison
has,
or whatever.
Yeah, if she has, then she has some sort of online presence. I couldn't find her anywhere. I couldn't find Clarice Cravel anywhere. But I was undeterred. So guess who left voicemails at NASA this morning? I did not get a response back.
God.
I called two different numbers at NASA and I just asked if she worked for them. Can you give me a yes or no answer if she works for you? Because, but also the way that this person speaks article does not sound like a real human being.
You are my fucking hero.
You're welcome. I love you. And so, therefore, are aliens fuckable? Maybe.
Probably not.
And maybe we should explore that.
Well, you know what? If you really would like...
No words. No more words now.
Just please see the Big Blue Alien Dick episode where we discuss this again in more detail and I do a science corner about whether or not aliens are fuckable. There you go. Yeah. Are they? Let's explore it.
No words. Here's the book. I just
Hell
sent
yeah.
it to you.
Amazing. Oh, boy. How lucky are we that this alien is potentially mammalian and has pecs? Thank God. Thank God he's humanoid. All right.
He does have a tail, too, which, like, I don't like tails. I just don't. If that's your thing, that is A-okay. But they're not
weird,
for me.
Weird hot take. Furry tails, not into it. Alien tails, not into it. Demon tails, yeah, I'm into that.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. It is Alien Mercenaries Bride, Lathar Mercenaries Warborn Book 2 by Mina Carter. All right, so this has this cover. There is a planet with a moon and a very strategic lens flare from what I'm assuming is a sun behind it. And standing in front of that, I think on the deck of a spaceship, is a very veiny, very humanoid man that I'm assuming is intended to be an alien. But the fact that he has nipples implies that the women of his race they're mammals because, you know... hair and okay, cool, great, awesome. And then that's it. He has a lot of abs. He's very chiseled.
A lot of veins.
Very veiny. The light source shining on his pecs does not match the light source in the background, which is kind of fun.
You can't see whether he's wearing pants either.
No, I think he is. Necky. I think he is, but it kind of just fades to black down there. So
yeah.
Although
yeah.
there are a couple strategically placed lights in the background that again make me think he's on the deck of a spaceship of some sort.
But that would make sense. That would make sense.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here. Oh, I've read this description before because I've considered reading this book. Yay!
Oh my God! I got you covered, girl. I got
it
you.
It is a miracle that we haven't. Read the same book yet.
I know.
All right, strap in, y'all. It's a long one. Heyo.
I'm ready.
Stowing away on an alien ship? Idiotic. Stowing away on the warborn ship? Suicidal. Marika Ingracia is desperate. To escape another wedding arranged by her father, she runs. Between a homicidal groom and a ship full of trained killers, she'll take her chances with the mercenaries, thank you very much. That's a lot.
Only things don't go quite to plan. Her idea to force them to help her at gunpoint seemed a stroke of brilliance until she's on board and facing down the sexiest mercenary she'd ever seen.
Can you not threaten someone who's sexy with a gun? That's like a swiping moment. Oh, God damn it. He's sexy. Shit. My bullets won't work on those washboard abs.
Like Clark Kent. It's like a superhero. He's so sexy that bullets deflect off of him.
Yeah, they don't want to harm him. Okay.
She can't think straight. Never mind shoot straight. She's doomed for a long walk out of a short airlock.
Okay, that's funny.
Until Mr. Tall, Muscled, and Growly agrees to help her escape her father's clutches. By marrying her. Just one problem. This time, she wants the wedding to be for real. She's the prettiest thing he's ever seen, and everything a killer like him doesn't deserve. Skinny has been a mercenary most of his life. One of the legendary warborn. He's killed more men than he's had hot dinners, and he's damn good at it. When he finds a scared human female,
that's a lot of people killing.
And this is just, I don't know if it's the sick brain, but these words are hard right now.
Yes. When he finds a scared human female, he doesn't expect his reaction to her or for her to clock him over the head with a pipe. Unpleasantness aside, when he realizes she needs help, he's all ears and everything else she needs.
Okay.
Up to and include.
Okay, hang on. Sorry.
Unpleasantness aside, when he realizes she needs help, he's all ears.
Period.
And everything else she needs.
Period.
Up to and including his hand in marriage to protect her.
Ellipses. It's not me. It's this.
Yeah. Okay. It totally is.
No plan survives first contact with the enemy. Between an assassination attempt and his past catching up with him, can Skinny convince Merica he's the alien for her, or will he lose her forever?
Well, you're already married, so you already got her. I don't know.
We'll get to that.
That was a ride. That was hard. That was tough.
Yeah. It's, imagine reading the book.
Yeah. Good? Yeah. That's a little tough. Oh, boy. Oh, I'm so excited. In the worst way.
All right. Triggers.
Yay.
Familial, physical, and verbal abuse.
Cool. Cool and good.
Spousal abuse, murder, gunfire, knife violence, poisoning, references to sexual assault, and...
Yacht violence?
Yacht violence!
Yacht violence!
Yacht violence!
Yacht violence! Oh, is it space yacht violence or is it just yacht violence?
We'll get to it.
I'm so excited.
I know. We haven't had yacht violence in so long.
And submarine violence doesn't count.
No.
It's not the same.
God, that was my other reason for picking this book. I needed something that was going to not take me long to read after that, like dry as sand submarine novel. I know that doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, you had to deal with that, and then we had a botched Gina, which y'all will never hear unless you're in the Patreon, and that was a fucking ride. Y'all, it might have been my last Gina. Oof, rough.
Yeah, really rough. Yeah, all right, let's get started. So
let's fucking go.
Let's do our characters. Marika, daughter of Anton Ogresha. I couldn't pronounce it Marika because there was a girl who had that name in high school.
Cool.
That's how she pronounced it. She's the daughter of Anton Ogresha. He is a warlord, a mafia boss, crime leader of space. Okay. All of those things.
Wow. I want that on a t-shirt. Yes, I'm a space warlord mafia boss.
I want that on a business card.
They would be all black, and it would be mad.
So far, this guy has married Marika off 3 times. And after each time she was married, her husband has been poisoned. And it's not clear whether she did the poisoning or her dad did the poisoning. I think that she did the poisoning.
Okay.
So she's now been given the name of Poison Princess.
At the behest of her father, or just because she's like, no, y'all?
Who can say?
Well, you know what? If it's the latter, go girl.
Yeah, Go for you. She's very petite. She's got dark hair, light skin. That's really all I know about her.
And is very, very humanoid.
Very human. Super, super fucking human.
Are they from Earth? Is he warlord of Earth? Okay, we won't question it. It's fine. It's just those space humans. It's fine.
Yeah. She's basically a space. She is human.
Space human.
Altav, a.k.a. also known as, on his ship, he's also known as Skinny. Why he's known as Skinny?
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. He is a Lotharian warborn warrior. He's another alien race. And they are built big and Ford tough. He's the Ford F-150 of space races.
Yeah, he is. He certainly is.
He is.
Oh, my God.
He's on a ship called the Sprite, sponsored by Coke. And, because I like the idea that Coke has, like, you know, the Santa Claus Coke, you know? And then they have the Sprite space mercenaries.
The Sprite space marines. Oh, my God. Yeah. Brought to you by Coke.
Brought to you by Coke. And he is working on the ship as a mercenary with, like, a bunch of other Lotharian. Also, like, some Lotharians, some humans, etc. So there are three races that you need to know. There's humans, like, normal-ass us humans. There are Edanians, who I'm still not 100% clear on what Edanians are. I know they're humanoid as well. And bigger, built, but not built for tough. I guess they were, I don't know what.
They're like anyway. a solid Chevy.
Maybe like a Chevy. Yeah, a Chevy would be good. And then you have Lotharians. And Lotharians, they are an alien race that has a bad rep with humans in particular.
Okay.
Because Lotharians, and I will admit, it doesn't say that it's a standalone novel. I made an assumption.
Okay.
So there's some things that I do not understand about this world and this book. So we're going to have some holes. But basically, Lotharians are low on females in their race.
Yeah. Aren't they always?
Aren't they always? And so, but they've discovered that human women can carry Lotharian babies. So.
It is so fortunate that our Lord God in heaven hath decreed.
We literally had the same thought.
That humans could, maybe that's our superpower. All the other aliens in the universe are like, have like faster than light travel or tails or whatever, and we can just breed with anything because we're just all a bunch of horny fucks.
Anything. Omnisexual over here. We begin with Marika, who is walking through a market on a planet, and she has her two bodyguards with her. And when I say bodyguards, they're really her jailers, right? Like, she cannot escape from these. It's for...
Right.
They were hired by her father. And, I mean, they're both assholes. But she is thinking to herself in her brain, I've got to get away from these guys. I've got to try to escape. Because she's getting married. Her father is marrying her off very soon. And she's like... And unfortunately, the guy that her dad wants her to marry, his name's Martel. And he likes it rough. And when I say it's not kinky... rough, it's
rapey.
Like edge of death rapey, edge of death. Ooh. Rough, like he's he's killed two previous wives, she's killed three previous husbands, kind of in a way they're a match made in heaven, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, she's technically, if we're looking at the statistics, she'll come out on top, but...
right but she's like, I don't want to marry, she's pretty convinced that he will successfully kill her,
right?
So she's thinking, like, how am I going to escape? How am I going to get away from these guys? When she bumps into Altav bumps into this little skinny bitch with her two bodyguards, and they're instantly attracted to one another, Altav and Marika.
I think I stroked out for a minute. Altav is skinny.
Altav, well, he's no, his nickname is Skinny.
Yes,
but
same.
She's the itty bitty teeny tiny one.
Yeah, but they're the same person. So when you say Altav, you mean Skinny. Okay,
I mean Skinny. Yes.
I stroked out for a second on his weird alien name. Okay, we're back.
Yeah, no worries. They kind of like meet each other. The bodyguards don't like this, obviously. But Altav's like, oh man, what a bummer. I'd love to spend more time with her, but like, sorry, girl. Like, we're actually about to get on our ship and head off planet. So, like, he lets that slip, and she's like, perfect.
Oh, are you now?
Love that information. So, don't ask me how, because I don't know. Somehow, she gets a riot to start in the market, and she manages to escape from her bodyguards.
But I just love in the, like, one moment she had just talked to Altev, and the next she's just in a storage, like, storage closet.
I bet you're wondering how I got here.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, how did you get there? So she's been in there. She's been in that storage unit for a day.
Okay.
Luckily, there's also facilities in there, which I don't know why there's a bathroom in there.
Lucky for her.
Yeah, I know. And she's kind of been hiding. She grabbed a nutrition bar, whatever. She's basically, I think, but she doesn't really have a plan.
Uh-huh.
So, whoopsie-daisy. I guess she's just waiting until they get off planet. Like, she can just sneak off the ship.
Have they already, like, left? Or, like, they're in space.
They're okay. In space. Yeah. So she's gotten away. Like, she successfully escaped from her bodyguards. But now what's she going to do, right?
Yeah. That's, right. You know what? Sometimes you just got to make it up as you go along.
Well, she does, because then Altov walks into the supply closet wherever she is, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's carrying an axe, and she acts basically on instinct when she sees that axe and whacks him in the back of the head with a metal pipe.
Hell yeah. Fucking, maybe not your smartest move, but fucking get it, girl. Do what you gotta do.
Yeah. Well, so it only knocks him out for like a second because
he's a meatball.
He's a meat wall. He's a genetically enhanced meat wall, too.
Ooh, ooh.
So
that, you got to be careful of those genetically enhanced Ford F-150s.
It's like a transformer. Built for death. So he gets whacked. He like blacks out for a second, but then immediately wakes back up. Like, and he's on the ground, right? And he's like kind of chilling down there, like listening to her reaction, because she's like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, did I kill him?
Genetically engineered Ford Tough.
Yes, engineered Ford Tough. Yes, excuse me. But she also grabs his, grabs the gun that apparently he also has.
Great. Good for her.
And he wakes up and he kind of laughs to himself because he's like, okay, you really, bitch, you did not hurt me that bad, but you know,
but she's freaking out.
Yeah, she's freaking out. So then she's like, she picks up his gun and points it at him, is like, guess what, you're gonna help me. And he's like, yes, baby, the best response in the book is, well, you are holding a gun on me, so it'd be rude not to.
Okay, I love both of these characters so far, because I'm her. I would do exactly what she was doing. Oh, shit. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Panic.
We'll see how you feel at the end. But, okay. Well, yeah. You
know, let me hold on to this. Let me believe.
So Altov gets up, and right after he gets up, another guy shows up. And what this guy sees is this girl holding a gun on Altav. And Altav's not worried. He's like, she's not going to shoot me, for one. And two, the safety is on the gun, and she does not realize that.
Oh, baby.
So he's like, he's not worried about it. But this guy, Finn, who walks in, doesn't know that. And so Altav immediately pushes Marika behind him and is like, talks in their language, Lotharian, like, I've got this, chill. Like, just walk away. This is under control. And Finn's like, well, she is just like an itty bitty teeny human. So I'm going to go get the captain. See you in a minute.
So
he's
not the captain?
No.
Altov
is not the captain of the ship.
Okay.
Altov is, yeah. We'll get to the captain in a second. So she's like, I'm really sorry that I hit you over the head. Thank you for agreeing to help me. And he's already way into her. He's way attracted to her. Mm-hmm. So he's like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to help you. You're hot.
I have no idea what you need. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So they get Altov and Marika go to the medical bay. They get someone to look at Altov's head just to make sure everything's all good. And while they're in there, T'Ral. So that's his name, T'Ral.
Okay.
Comes in and starts talking to her as well, and he's like, okay, give me a reason why we should help you. And she's like, you absolutely should not. You should drop me off on the next planet. And he's okay. Like, interesting answer. I'll hear you out. And she's like, this is who my dad is. Uh-huh. Okay. And he wants to marry me off to this guy, and that guy is going to kill me. Like, and the Lotharians are like, don't really understand human culture, so they're like, your dad's a fucking scumbag. All right, let's round up the whole crew. We'll see what they want to do. If they're willing to help you.
I'm still, at this point, holding on to the fact that I'm into this.
So they hold a meeting with the entire crew. She's introduced to everyone. She tells her story again. And honestly, two people in the group are like, no, just drop her off on the next planet. I do not want to mess with her fiance. Like, he is insane. He's crazy. They literally say he's nuked entire planets just because they pissed him off.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. Well, but then Altov is like, absolutely not. We are helping her. And T-Roll is like, nah, I don't care what you think. We're helping her. Okay, cool. Bye.
Good captaining right there. That's yep, what excellent. That is. Yeah, amazing.
Well, then Altov gets into a fight with another guy who wants to bang Marika, who's like, hey, you can pay me with your body. And Altov's like, absolutely not. She's mine. And then they get into a fight and Marika stands in between the two fighting aliens. It's like, no, don't fight over me.
I knew that was coming. God, I knew that was coming.
So then Altov throws her over his shoulder and takes her to his, I don't know, what is it? Bedroom? Quarters. Let's call them quarters.
All right, sure.
Itty bitty room where they almost fuck. Because Marika's like, look, she's attracted to him, he's attracted to her, like, they want a bone. But Marika's like, look, you guys are helping me get out of this mess, so if you want to fuck me, if you want to fuck me as payment, if that's what you want to do, I can't really, I would rather do that than have my alternative. And he's like, Altov's like, no, don't get me wrong, definitely want to fuck you, but I want to fuck you when you trust me, and when it is not, when you want it, not as payment for helping you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do not love that at the start, but I understand where she's coming from in terms of two options. This is fine, and at least I'm into you, so, like, right, okay.
Right. I'm glad that the author, like, spelled it out, you know, and had the two characters spell it out. They didn't just have this, like, awkward thing where it was, like, a miscommunication that went on for, like, three chapters, you know what I mean?
Right.
That could have very easily happened and would have been totes annoying.
Yes. But, and his response was the correct one of,
yes.
Well, hold up.
Well, hold on.
Right.
Hold on now. So he, like, leaves. He's like, if I stick around, I am going to have sex with you. So I'm going to go get you some clothes. I'm going to go get you, like, a hairbrush from one of the other girls on board. I'm going to get you the stuff that you need.
Okay.
So I can clear my brain. So
you can always walk away.
Yes. He has an upper bunk. He has the lower bunk. She takes the upper bunk because he has two beds in his room. So
convenient. You
know. Yes. Convenient. So, she sleeps for a while. He leaves. And it's kind of cute. When she wakes up in the morning, she's like, what's that smell? And it's coffee and cake.
Aww.
And he's like, I don't get why humans like coffee, but, like, they do. So here you go.
Aww.
I know, which it's is cute. I know. So eventually, Marika sleeps, wakes up. They have a horny moment. We're not going to get into it. Marika gets a message sent from her father to the Sprite. I don't know how it's sent because they don't know where she is. I'm assuming her dad just sent out, like, a huge blast everywhere or something.
I mean, if there's, like, a shared communication channel, or, like, the radio almost, right? Or, like think CB radio, right? Like,
right.
Breaker, yeah. You know?
Right.
Hey, my daughter's somewhere out there. Please send her back my way. Well, this is a message
specifically, I think it's more like Facebook Messenger, where he can tell that she logged in, but he can't tell from where.
Okay. All right.
Because it's a specific message for her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Here's how you do it. You establish something like that, and then you don't try to explain it. Because the minute you try to explain it, I'd be like, well, but you know what? It's space. It's future shit. So go for it. Whatever. Sure, right. It works.
So she gets a message from her father who orders her to come back or that he's going to have Marika's sister take Marika's place as Martel's wife. And Marika didn't even know she had a sister. He's like, guess one of my bitches from, like, 10 or 20 years ago, like, got pregnant and ran away and apparently had a baby and I didn't know, but I found this picture of your sister online and now I'm looking for her as well as you.
Convenient. first of all.
Convenient.
Second, I wouldn't believe him. And third, my brain was trying to put together that this is someone you've never met before that's supposedly related to you that you don't know. Why would you have any loyalty to this person? But for some reason, my brain supplied the term brand loyalty, which is not correct, but I think it's because we are talking about Coke.
We're really going into the brands today.
Well, you know, when the Coke Armada goes up against the Pepsi fleet and the Disney, the Federation of Disney is also there, you know, whatever.
It gets complicated.
It gets complicated.
It's right up there with... That's when you need to get Ford tough.
It's right up there with the Applebee's Mafia, honestly. We yes, have a whole really, world.
They figure out, though, so under the law that her dad lives under, which he's a crime boss, so why law matters to him, I don't know.
Okay.
But they, the mercenaries essentially figure out if Marika marries a man, that she will, or that man and her will have half of a stake in her father's corporation because of laws.
That he definitely follows.
That he's definitely follows.
Swipe or no swiping well, laws.
So she'll own half of the space business, the crime space business.
Space bucks. She'll own half of his space bucks.
Half of his space bucks. And which is also explains though why either her dad told her or like, I don't know. It explains why her dad like wanted her previous husbands to die because they had a claim in half of the corporation.
So did she just, like, get all of their money when they died and nobody looked into it? Because, again, space law means nothing to this man or her. So cool.
But also, like, and the reason why they want... So they want to get... The mercenaries want Marika to get married so that they can claim half of the space crime mafia.
Space bucks.
Space bucks. So, okay, so if we're assuming Sprite, the Sprite is part of the Coca-Cola, I guess her dad will be part of Pepsi Federation.
Yeah, the Pepsi Armada. Yeah.
Pepsi Armada,
yeah,
okay.
Then there's the Federation of Disney, which again, they're kind of like the judges, the arbiters okay, of everything. Yes, yeah, yes, they make yes, the yes. final
okay,
judgments.
Okay, so they're the law. Okay. They're the law. That's the law that she that he, right. quote-unquote, follows.
Because Disney owns everything.
Disney owns everything. If Disney wants to, and if Coke wants to keep selling their products at Disney,
exactly,
they better follow the law. Anyway, now how taking back half of her father's business would help her get away from her father forever? You
she
got
has
me there,
money.
Because
I
have no idea. But she has money, but then that's also, like, a bigger reason for her dad to come after her. Like, now she owns half of the corporation.
Yeah.
Why? That would not make anything better. Like, you want to disappear. You don't want to, like, throw out your peacock plumes and say, I'm here, Dad!
It definitely does feel like a swipe or no swiping rule. Like, there's no reason right. for him to follow it, but it's the rule, even though he's a mafia right. warlord boss who doesn't have to follow the rules. I hope you could hear the air right. quotes, listeners.
Yeah. Well, so, but it just doesn't make sense story-wise.
No.
Like, that's not
going to
help you at all.
Yeah.
It's just going to, I feel like it would make things worse.
I was going to say, it's going to, in fact, cause more problems.
Yes, later on. What you need to do is kill your own dad.
Yeah, that would indeed be the move.
That would be the move. Anyway, so, but that's not the move that they go for. Instead, they decide that Marika and Altov should get married. For reasons.
Sure. I mean, are they both sure. into it?
Yeah, they're both into it. I mean, that's fine. But they, because they need to get married under the Disney Corporation laws, mm-hmm. and they're, so they're, like, God, this is getting so confusing. Okay, so they need to get married under Disney Corporation. So basically, they need to get Disney cast member badges. Fake Disney cast member badges.
Huh. So.
So that they can get married under Disney law.
So there's different sectors of intergalactic law basically. Yes. So they need to get married under the same legal system that our space cowboy warlord mafia man also is under, even though, as we established, he is a criminal.
Right.
Cool.
Yes.
Got it.
And Altov doesn't have a Dissing cast member badge.
Got it.
So therefore, he can't get married under their law, but they need to.
Right.
And so he's going to get a fake.
They need to infiltrate the Federation of Disney and get a fake badge.
Get the Armada, the Disney Armada.
I thought it was the Pepsi Armada and the Federation of Disney.
Pepsi Armada, you're right.
Yeah.
I hope we're not making this too confusing.
Whatever.
Whatever.
The Pepsi Armada so just rolls off the tongue.
They get the fake ID. They get the fake ID, though, and then they get married. And I'm like, then your marriage isn't valid because you use fake IDs. Nothing is real. Nothing makes sense. What are laws? Why did you do any of this? Just kill your dad.
Sometimes the simplest answer is
not your father. He's not your father. He's literally just a guy. Hit him with your Ford F-150.
Just chuck your boyfriend at him.
He's just Ken.
I just... Okay. What? Okay. What are laws? Lawyers, what is space law?
Are you pulling out your hair yet? So then they go. So now they have to go to court to petition for Marika's half of the Space Corporation.
With an invalid. Okay. Sure. Fine. Cool.
But they have the best forger in the galaxy, so for fake IDs. So, like, they're basically real.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
It's like instead of ticker on the cast member card, it says Tuger. Togger.
I'm Winnie the Pooh Bear. My name's Togger Bell. he's just
Peter Flan.
He's just a fucking public domain Disney character at this point.
Yeah.
That's all he is.
All right. Prince Philop.
Oh, God.
So they go to petition for Marika's half. And they have to go to court.
Uh-huh.
And at this court, there are a bunch of other people who have, like, petitions in there. There are a couple of, like, people who are getting divorced. Mm-hmm. I think there's someone who's suing someone else, and the judge is there. It's like, you know, it's like kind of like a long line of people who are waiting to see this judge. Strangely enough, though, there are also Sisters of the Crescent Moon there, which are basically nuns. They're nuns.
Okay.
And the moment...
Question.
Yes.
Which moon? Because if we're in space, crescent there's a lot moon. Of moons.
Crescent moon.
Yes, but there are so many moons.
Crescent moon,
all
Rachel! Crescent moon! Crescent moon, Rachel!
Keep going, sorry.
Well, so then... So these Sisters of the Crescent Moon, everyone is very shocked when Marika and Altav go up to the stand to make their case... Sisters pull off their habits and reveal that one of them is her dad with a gun.
Because my brain... Okay, one, did he dip that gun in holy water? Because that's very important.
Of course he didn't.
Two,
he didn't. No.
My brain is serving up, because it's already unhinged at this point, the fucking three fake Powerpuff Girls, the dudes that are just in the Powerpuff Girls.
Absolutely. I also that's a whole thing. So they get a battle ensues basically in this courtroom.
Courtroom drama.
Which sucks for everybody else there. Courtroom drama, literally. And this is the moment when she can hear this over gunfire beyond me. But Altov is protecting Marika, obviously, shooting back at her father, and Anton, Marika's father, is like, you don't know who he truly is. He didn't tell you. He's not Edainian. He's Lotharian. And, like, points at Altav. And she's, like, stunned. She's like, is that true? Because it's a big deal. He never told her. Because culturally, like, they...
I thought that he did.
For humans... No, he did not. Humans have a bad rap.
Okay.
Humans have... Excuse me. Lotharians have a bad rap with humans.
Okay.
There's a stigma that Lotharians steal human women to impregnate them, basically.
Okay.
So now she believes, oh, you just married me and did all this stuff. And they have had sex at this point. I forgot to mention had sex. It's fine. It's fine. You just got married because you wanted to impregnate me, basically.
Okay. So we're in the miscommunication and zone then.
Way miscommunication. Great. So, but also like the over dramatic miscommunication, because she's like trying to have, she's like, is that true? And like her heart is breaking and she says that. Meanwhile, gunfire is happening. I'm like, you're not thinking about,
let's prioritize.
You should not be worried about, yes, prioritize. Maybe like figure, grab a gun.
Goal one.
And then you guys can talk this out.
Goal one, murder your dad.
Murder goal your two, dad.
Deal with this.
So she runs out of the courtroom alone by herself.
She hey, escapes. Bitch, like, that's a dumb idea.
She runs out of the courtroom, just keeps running, and it's like, he's lied to me. He's just as bad as my dad.
They're still he's trying horrible. To objectively, yada, yada, yada. Objectively know that he's not. And two,
yeah,
they're trying to kill you.
Right.
Why would you leave your F-150 meat shield? I don't understand.
So she bolts, she runs, and she's like running through the street. She has no idea what to do. Now remember, Sisters of the Crescent Moon, right? That was what the disguise that her dad wore, right?
Uh-huh.
Where does she go? She goes to a Sisters of the Crescent Moon, I'm assuming it's a church, and is like, hey, I want to become a sister. I want to become a nun, essentially.
Sanctuary! I want to become a space nun.
Sanctuary! And they ask zero questions. They're like, all right, bitch, put on this habit and start peeling potatoes.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Meanwhile, what happened at the end of that battle? Who knows? What we do know is that Altav is devastated and heartbroken and really fucking mad at himself. Because he's like, I should have just told her I was Lotharian. And all of his dude bro friends are like, you didn't just tell her? The other mercenaries, like, you, why didn't, and he was like, I just let her believe that we were Edainian because I was afraid I'd lose her, but also, like, I don't deserve her because of family trauma reasons.
Are these two different alien races just visually identical?
They must look pretty similar.
They would have,
like,
to.
Edainians must, I like we said, it's F-150 Tough versus Chevy.
Yeah, okay, that's so fair. So they're all meat. Yeah. They're all walls of meat. It's just
meat.
Sure. Walls of
man flesh. So basically, long story short, what happened to his family? This is where the rape comes in.
Oh, cool.
He was 14, which for his Lotharian kind, that's full grown, which I don't know why that the phrase full grown kind of creeps me out. And he's hooking up with a girl on his, like, that lived next door to his parents' house, his family's house. Uh-huh. And while that's happening, like, a gang came in and raped his sister and his mom, then killed them, and then killed their dad. And he blames himself for that, because he was off hooking up with a girl.
Okay! We're not even
gonna go into that, right. So he, and because of that whole experience, he now believes that he is not worthy of Marika. And okay. He's like,
Trauma's a bitch, I'm not gonna question it.
Trauma's a bitch. Meanwhile, we switch back over to Marika. She's literally peeling potatoes.
Sister Marika, excuse me.
I think that they gave her a different... They gave her sister the name Sister Fortitude, I think. Or something like that. Which is not... She's not handling this fortitudinally. Because she's super depressed. All the other sisters think she's weird. She's only been gone a few days. And, like, it's already, like, she's been there for 10 years.
All she's been consuming are... Starbucks skinny vanilla lattes. Lattes.
Starbucks exists in the Disney Corporation universe too.
I'm telling you. the
Starbucks Space Mafia.
Starbucks Space Mafia.
So she literally is peeling potatoes and like she's so depressed that like when she cuts herself and gives herself a nice gash, like she doesn't even feel the pain. Because it's nothing compared to the pain in her heart.
Okay, drama. Cool.
Yeah. So eventually she gets a summons from the Mother Superior.
Great.
It's so funny how all this is so Catholic.
And, it's extremely Catholic.
Really Catholic. And so she goes
our Lord God
to
in heaven
Mother Superior.
Has deemed it us worthy of fucking aliens, Margie. We shall not question it.
So she goes to her Mother Superior's office. Unfortunately, she doesn't sing Climb Every Mountain. You know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's not a Sound of Music scene. Unfortunately, Marika's father is there. Oh no, you mean that the guy who literally had a Sister of a Crescent Moon uniform that he was wearing earlier, you literally think that he didn't, like, have contacts or, like, know anyone in that organization?
Look, like, I'm not saying that
bitch.
Survival of the fittest is, you know, it shouldn't, well, everyone should have a chance at...
Well, she's not the fittest, but she's also not the smartest.
She's an idiot.
You've got to work out something. You've got to put two and two together.
The
like
Darwin
maybe,
Award goes to...
Maybe don't go to the Sisters of the Crescent Moon. Maybe go to the Brothers of Jupiter or something like that. Whatever. I don't know. For sanctuary. Like
literally anywhere else,
you know?
Really.
Literally anywhere else. Yeah, seriously. So they sedate Marika and I guess sort of... I mean, it's kidnapping because she's going where she doesn't want
to
go.
Does Rex smell like chloroform to you? Thunk.
They actually put a needle in her neck. They use a syringe.
Well, that's safer.
And when she wakes up, she is on a space yacht.
Space yacht!
Space yacht! Yay! She's on the her bedroom of her dad's space yacht. And she's pretty much just given up on life. She's like, okay, whatever. Her dad gets her all prettied up. And walks her to the like bridge of the ship, and that is where Martell is there as a hologram because he couldn't be there for their wedding in person.
Well,
which seems very illegal to me.
And also, like, she's technically already married. Yeah, it's fake, but she is technically already married under the space law. Oh right, we're not bothering ourselves with petty things such as plot holes.
No,
I forgot.
No. Well, they do mention that later on in a minute, but she's got a plan. She's like, All right, I've got this poison dagger down my boobs. I was going to kill Martell first and then kill myself, but after we got married, but I guess I'll just kill myself and then let Martell and my dad fight over my dad's company.
Your dad is right there. And we've already established if you kill him, you're in charge. This feels like the best option.
She's too depressed. She's too sad.
Oh, right. She said.
And also the bodyguards. There are two bodyguards there.
But then you're still in charge if he dies. They get nothing without you. Okay. Okay. Right. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
She's too sad.
The plot
she's
black holes sad. Are just too big. They're drawing me in. I've gone past the event horizon. I apologize.
We'll get back to the too sad thing too, and I love it.
Okay,
so there's a moment, and I don't know why the minister that they chose to say this, where it's like they have a moment of speak now or forever hold your peace, that kind of
Yay!
Thing. Guess who bursts in? Altav, and he's like, they're not getting married. That's my wife. That's my wife.
Yay, I'm so glad that in the far future space world that speak now or forever hold your peace has persisted. Wonderful.
Yes, of course. Altav comes in, they shoot the bodyguards, and then Anton, Marika's dad again. And then Martell is still on the hologram, which is very funny. And he's like, wait a minute, what other marriage? What are you talking about? What's going on? And Altav's like, fuck off, dude, whatever. But Anton holds a knife to Marika's throat. Her own father.
Poison dagger. Like, poison dagger.
It's not poison dagger.
Well, no, but she still has
blade
it in her
that
tits.
He happened to have. Yeah, she does. Oh, no, she doesn't use that. She looks at Altav and is like, please just kill me. Please just let me die. Literally. And he's like, no, no, love, I love you. We were meant to meet. No. Rachel's holding her head on opposite ends. It's like she's trying to hold her head together.
One hand on the forehead was not enough. It just happened.
No.
Roll with it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, so Altav is like trying to like convince her, no, we're meant to be together. I love you. I'm sorry I lied to you. And while this is happening, Anton just slits her throat anyway.
That escalated.
Escalated quickly. So he slits her throat. And then what happens to him? We don't know. Because then Altav just grabs Marika and like is obviously devastated. He thinks that she's dead. He thinks that she's gone. They head back to the Sprite Corporation tin can ship, where Altav is punched in the face by another one of his crewmates because he won't let Marika go. He like won't let her out of his arms because he believes that she's dead.
Okay.
And the other crewmate is like, you fucking idiot, let her go so we can treat her. She's still alive. And he's like, wait, she's still alive? So they take her to the med bay. Somebody heals her like immediately. Very, very quickly.
Sure, yeah, they do.
Space magic.
They super do.
And then it says the most Padme Amidala Star Wars shit ever of, she has to want to live. Okay, her wound is completely cleared up at this point. Like, she has a thin scar across her neck and that's it. Like,
hey,
the author's saying that she's gonna die from the sads.
You bleed out real fast.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Space. Yeah. Maybe space does space. Weird things to human bodies.
Also, how did they get onto the yacht? Like, without anybody noticing. How did that happen? Also, how did they get off the yacht that quickly? I have questions.
I have.
Also, what happened to her dad? Where is her dad?
He probably comes up in a later book. Probably with her sister.
Yes.
I...
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. Well, so then Altav is sitting at her bedside trying to convince her to live, basically. And how he does that is he tells Marika his tragic backstory.
Oh, yeah.
Tragic backstory is capitalized so that she knows, like, I'm sorry I didn't tell you. This is the reason why. Uh-huh. I don't believe I'm worthy of you because my family, you know, I basically let my family die. And then she opens her eyes miraculously and is like, it's not your fault. I still love you, and it's all good. I just love that she has to want to live. It's just so Star Wars. Like,
you know how I tend to latch on to completely inane things?
Yes.
There are too many things. And so I'm overwhelmed and can't latch on to one of them because there's too many things that are just inane. They don't...
Right.
There's too many holes. Also, it falls into the stupid fucking thing of, hey, maybe wait out the firefight and talk instead of run away by yourself in the middle of a firefight where you're the person they're trying to murder. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, she's fine. They get legally married.
Great.
In a chapter in the epilogue, I can't remember which. No, it's not the epilogue. Okay. And then Altav actually has a call with Martell and is like, you're done. You're done chasing my wife. Like, you're not going to marry her. I am married to her now. Like, you're not going to have her. But I know you're going to fight that. But I will I will pay for you to leave her alone by giving you Anton's current location, like all of this information on him, so you can go ahead and take over his company, because I don't even care, I don't want it. You can murder him and just take over the corporation. My wife doesn't give a shit, I don't give a shit, we just want to be done with all of this. And Martell's like, sweet dude, peace, all right, that works for me. I'll leave you guys alone and just take over the corporation, and you guys can go fuck off. And that's the end of the book.
One, appeasement never works. Two, everyone thought she was dead.
Yeah.
She could have just stayed dead.
Stayed dead.
Not like dead, but like
new identity. You don't need any of the new money identity. From your father.
You literally know somebody who can make like good enough fake IDs too.
Why even talk to the dude and let him know that you're still alive?
That you're still alive.
What's the point? Like, why? Okay.
Right. Yeah.
They're all idiots.
Oh God. And you know, I like talking about this book though, so we're getting into reviews now. Because it makes even less sense now than when I was reading it. Because I will, in the author's defense, like I said, it doesn't say that it's a standalone novel.
Right.
So, and I did not read the first book.
Right.
So some of the things, space things could, I know that there's like some cultural things that the Lotharians and the Edanians that I don't understand because I didn't read the first book. However, if we just use logic, it still doesn't make sense. Like all the rules that the author tries to make, the laws that the author tries to make, the world that she's building doesn't really make sense.
No, and so many of the like plot holes and stuff in the book itself aren't even related to the setting. They're just holes in the plot. Yes.
They're just holes in the plot. Right.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then there is an epilogue. It's another one of the mercenaries. And he's like in a bar or something and he finds Marika's sister and she's in trouble. So we're going to assume that they're going to be the characters in the next book.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. This book was kind of perfect for me because after that submarine book, I did not want to think.
Yep.
I wanted two characters who end up happily ever after, but like lots of life saving and lots of touchy feely moments. I wanted big protection vibes. I wanted all those things. Yeah. So in that way, it kind of like, okay, that scratched the itch. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't great. I will say for the author, the humor was pretty good.
Okay, that goes a long way for me.
When she, like I said, that first line where he's like, well, you're holding a gun to me, so it'd be rude not to. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of funny. Also, you can tell the author is very into consent in their first sex scene.
Hell
like,
yeah.
All Top goes above and beyond to make sure that he has consent from Marika.
Which,
so we do.
Canonically, that makes sense with, even though he hasn't admitted that he's a Lotharian or whatever, like, if that's something that's important to him in terms of like, I don't feel worthy of this. And also I don't want to play into the stigma that people have about my, like my people, then yeah, like that makes sense in a world building way.
Right. Well, and also like there are little, for the world building, there are little asides of like, you can tell that the Lotharians don't really understand humans because they're kind of like, a father would just sell his daughter off. What are you talking about? Like, cause in Lotharian culture, women and men are equal.
Right.
So, which is like, unfortunately, wild. Very different from human culture. Even So, even apparently in the future, humans are trash and men are trash. At least human men.
Yeah.
But so all right. Rating it. Characters. I liked Altov.
Yeah.
I didn't really like Marika that much.
Yeah, she didn't
but
make a lot of sense.
With reading Marika's point of view was kind of like reading the point of view of like a 16-year-old.
Oh, that's not
I understand where you're coming from, but you're not that smart yet.
Yeah. Well, and you know, to be like, fair, I guess if she was really sheltered, then like, but
yes,
but even then,
not even that smart. It's like more naive.
Yeah,
like naive and not thinking clearly. Like your frontal cortex, whatever, your frontal lobe obviously has not developed enough yet, and so it gets frustrating because you're just like, just think about what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give her a 2. I'll give him a 3 because I thought he was funny, and also I like big protection vibes.
Yeah.
And he gave a lot of those.
I love
so that scratched that
big protection vibes.
But in a lot of ways he was just Ken to quote the Barbie movie. He's just Ken.
Kenergy.
There's nothing really
major
that
Kenergy. Kenergy.
Yeah, oh my god, major Kenergy. Where he's really just a big tough guy, you know. What's the next one?
Next is 6.
It was fine. I mean, I think I would give it a 3-2. Okay. Like, it wasn't any, it was definitely nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy at all. But, I mean, it was good.
Sure. Plot.
And then plot one.
Yeah, plot wasn't great.
Because there were way too many plot holes. There's one thing about, like, just kind of accepting that something happens in a book, and another to just kind of, like, no, that just doesn't
there has
make
to be
sense.
A reason. Yeah.
Like, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And then yeah. overall, 1 out of 10. Or 2. Sorry, not no, 1 I'm out thinking. Of 10. 1, 2, 10.
3.5.
Really? That seems low.
I mean, maybe 4.
Yeah. I guess.
Because it's just the plot holes really take it away from
that's
me.
Fair.
And it's just not. The prose was just not well written.
So maybe we should add, like, prose to, like, our ratings thing. Because for me, that plays a
and
huge
also
role.
The world building too.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Okay.
Universe building. I didn't find all that great.
Yeah.
So,
it felt like it
go.
Was a fun turn your brain off kind of thing, but not particularly
yes.
anything to write home about.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
It did have yacht violence though, and that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, we do love some yacht violence. We haven't had yacht violence in so long.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute.
Yeah. It's been a minute. All right. Well. That's what I got.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That was good. That was so much fun. And,
I did get a request from Janelle, who has been a guest on the podcast.
Oh, yes.
I was telling her about the book yesterday, and we were talking about how big alien dick
is of course.
Supposed to be. And I started doing this to her, from under her counter in her kitchen, to demonstrate, alien dick. So you're going to have to describe this
Ooh,
to our
okay.
listeners.
Okay. You're not on camera right now, so I cannot see you.
Yeah, I know,
okay,
exactly.
Okay. Oh,
this is alien dick.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Why is it wiggling? It's just, it's like a hand snake coming up.
We were saying that it's as large, it's probably as large as the forearm,
God.
And it, like,
oh, I don't
wiggles.
Love, the movement is what makes me, it, for me, that is a no. It's a no for me, dog. It's a no for me, dog.
So I kept doing that during yesterday as we were talking.
Oh,
about this
God. Moment. Yeah, no.
All right.
Amazing. Well, hey, well, thank you for hanging out. And thank you
yes.
to Aylin Ariu for the use of your song, Oh Love, off the album Beheld. It slaps.
Yes.
Do we have anything else? I don't think we do.
No.
All right. Hell
good.
Yeah. Well, thank you for going for. Okay. Thank you for going on a space adventure with us. That's what I was trying to say.
You did say it.
Did.
You did
I
say it.
It.
You said it beautifully.
I said it in Lotharian.
Yes.
It's fine. All right.
Yes.
Bye.
Yes, exactly. Bye.